It's late August, and if you have a backyard grill, I'm sure it's gotten plenty of love over the last few months. So right about now, you might be itching to get creative because just throwing the usual stuff on there has lost its novelty. Well, creative grilling is actually kind of a thing. Do a YouTube search. It's bonkers. People will throw anything on a grill.
Oh, they're slidey.
Yeah, they're all like squishy. All right. Here's Twizzlers and Oreos. Careful, because the Oreos are going to be hot.
I'm Gina Kaufman, and before you start raiding the cabinets for Oreos, we're going to talk to a true expert about the experiments he's done that have worked. We've got Mike McGonigal of McGonigal's Meat Market with us on the line. Mike, welcome to Central Standard.
Well, good morning. Thank you.
The McGonigal's website has your ideas for creative things to grill, but you run a grocery that really specializes in meat, which is what most of us are used to grilling. What inspired you, of all people, to branch out?
Well, you know, we're talking about it. We spent a lot of time talking to customers about things to grill, and we were just kind of talking about getting creative because people bring ideas to us, and we thought maybe we should bring some ideas to the people.
Do you see your customers getting kind of restless at the grill and wanting to try something new by this time in the summer?
Yeah, you know, and the summer's been a little different because we've had such nice weather. People have grilled right on through. They do get restless. And they're looking for new ideas and new things to do.
Okay, so let's go through Can we go through some of your experiments that have worked? The top five, you have written about those, and they are, according to the McGonigal's website, apricots, pound cake, lobster rolls, eggplant parmesan, and corn on the cob. So if people were going to try just one of these experiments, which one would it have to be?
Well, you know, I'm kind of partial to cooking, to grilling fruit. So different types of the fruit, the apricot pound cake turned out really nice because the pound cake on the grill, you know, we know what a toaster does for bread. Grilling pound cake really brought the flavor out and really kind of crisped it up a little bit.
I had never thought about the toaster analogy. So like anything that's great on a toaster is also great in another format.
Yeah, I mean, what you're doing with the bread is you're introducing some heat and some crispiness to it, and that really helps it bring out the flavor, just like it does for bread. And then fruit on the grill is just one of my favorite things. You know, we all are familiar with doing kebabs with pineapple and different types of stuff on it, but when you introduce that heat and that caramelization to the fruit, it really bumps up the flavor.
So tell me about lobster rolls on the grill.
Well, lobster rolls, of the experiments we did, I didn't notice that it made a huge difference because basically all we're doing is cooking the lobster rolls on the grill instead of boiling them or some other method, broiling or any other method of cooking. It does introduce a little bit of a different flavor with the charcoal grill flavor into the lobster rolls, but it wasn't significantly different than doing them any other way.
Walk me through the process of lobster roll on the grill.
Well, basically, you're cooking the lobster tail like you would do if you were going to cook it to serve it as a lobster tail. And then you're removing the meat from the shell, chopping it, and mixing it with the other ingredients to put into a lobster roll sandwich, basically.
So then eggplant parmesan on the grill.
Veggies on the grill. Like fruit, it just adds another dimension of flavor. And taking that eggplant and coating it with a little olive oil and crisping it up on the grill really gives it the flavor. And then you add the tomato sauce and the tomatoes and Parmesan cheese, and it's delicious.
The corn on the cob, I feel like a lot of people probably have tried this on the grill, but since we've got you in the studio, because it's also, there is a lot of trial and error, especially if people's base of knowledge is coming from a meatier kind of place.
Mm-hmm.
What are the tips for doing a really mean corn on the cob on the grill?
Well, and people approach this from different directions. I like to do it without the husk so that you actually get the corn, the grill flavor into the corn. A lot of people
the little charring on
Yeah, a lot of people will, you know, shuck it, get the silks out, and then put some butter and salt and pepper inside the shucks, tie it back up, and put it on the grill that way.
What's the advantage to doing it that way, although that is not your preferred method?
Well, the advantage to doing it that way is you're not getting a pot dirty inside to boil the corn, and It does get some of the grilled flavor in there, but not near as much as if you grill that corn just without any husk on it at all.
So then, you know, you've talked about apricots and eggplant and corn. From the whole range of fruits and vegetables, and I don't think corn is either of those things. That's a starch. But,
yeah, but it's a grain.
Fruits and vegetables, what makes you choose one over the other as like really being something that is grill worthy?
Well, certainly as you get into the world of fruits and vegetables, some things do not hold up as well, obviously, on the grill. We all are familiar with doing the shish kebab and having the cherry tomatoes plop down on the floor as we're taking them off of the grill.
Yeah.
So some things get really soft. So, you know, firm vegetables do better. Asparagus is great on the grill. Zucchini, eggplant, those types of things that are nice and firm. Fruit-wise, pineapple rings on the grill, it just really intensifies the flavor. Pineapple rings, peaches on the grill surprised the heck out of me. They were delicious.
I'm hearing so much about peaches on the grill lately. That seems to be very popular.
Well, it's peach season, and it's been a very good year for Missouri peaches, and we have homegrown peaches at the store, and I just can't stay away from them. They are just so delicious. And then you put them on the grill and get them nice and hot all the way through and a nice little char on the outside, and the flavor is even that much more intense.
So if people are doing their own grilling experiments at home, do you have pointers on how to develop a proper grilling technique to match the food that they've chosen to try? Like what needs a marinade and what doesn't? When do you bust out some foil and when do you put it straight on the grill?
You know, I rarely use foil unless it's something that I know is going to break down and fall through the grates. I think the whole point of grilling is to get that seared flavor in there. With vegetables, I like to be pretty gentle with the heat. So whereas if you're cooking a steak, you're going to cook it over a nice hot fire. Vegetables, you want to back off of that a little bit. And same thing with the fruit. You do want to get some sear and some caramelization on there, but you got to be careful not to overdo it or they just burn.
What is your idea of a perfect meal if you're cooking on the grill?
Well, I like to be able to cook as much as I can on the grill. So a perfect meal would consist of a nice solid meat entree and then some nice grilled vegetables along the side and even dessert with the peaches and the fruit and that kind of thing. So whether it's steak or chicken or any other kind of red meat, lamb, veal, grilled, and doing everything alongside each other is really a lot of fun.
So we are back to meat, and I'm not surprised by this, because if people have been to McGonagall's, do you still have those T-shirts that are like sort
a little
of
disrespectful,
meat,
maybe?
Meat pride, and maybe a little like a mocking of vegetarians.
You know, we are due for a new batch of those T-shirts. We do not have any currently. And I've taken a little bit of heat for those over the years, but they're you know, done in good-natured ribbing of vegetarians.
Our next segment, we're going to be talking about hot dogs, and that is such a popular Labor Day thing. Is that what you eat on Labor Day?
Well, sometimes.
What's your favorite Labor Day thing? I bet you're pretty busy Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, it's kind of the close. You know, I hate to say it's the closing of the barbecue season, but it is the last major barbecue holiday. So it is very popular, you know, the same things we see on Memorial Day and 4th of July, hot dogs, hamburgers, that kind of thing, ribs, chicken, are all real good. We have a strange family tradition in my family of having a breakfast picnic on Labor Day.
Go on.
And we do an assortment of sausages, along with frying bacon over an open fire, which just sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it?
It does. Is it?
It is. It's a family tradition that dates back many, many years. But we do, you know, we make a lot of different sausages at the store. For our Labor Day feast, we almost always have the Italian sausage, the bratwurst, and then the good old-fashioned thick slice country bacon that we sell at the store.
any hot dog grilling tips as we pivot to that topic?
Yeah, hot dogs. Again, you got to be a little gentle with them. It's easy to sear the outside of them without getting them hot all the way through. So, you know, a medium, gentle heat.
Do you poke holes with the fork?
No. Depending on the hot dogs that you're grilling, some of them that have the natural casing on them do have that kind of skin on them, and people do poke them with a fork. I don't recommend it because it just gives a place for the juice to run out. Generally, as those hot dogs cook, they will expand and bust out of that casing. And so you just, when they split open, that's when they're done.
Mike McGonigal, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mike McGonigal runs McGonigal's Meat Market. I'm Gina Kaufman. And up next, we've got hot dogs, the classic Labor Day party fare. Call in to tell us about your favorite hot dog in town at 816-235-2888. Yes, sausage counts. So do veggie dogs and turkey dogs and whatever else you like on KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and the food critics are here to talk about hot dogs. You can too at 816-235-2888. Today's critics are Jenny Vergara of Feast Magazine. Hi, Jenny.
Good morning.
Carlton Logan of Kansas City Eats and the KC Food Guys. Hi, Carlton.
Good morning, Gina.
And a first-timer on our show, Liz Cook, who writes for The Pitch. Welcome to the show, Liz.
Hi, Gina. Great to be here.
Great to have you. So, right, hot dogs. For a food with such democratic appeal, I feel like they don't get much respect. Am I wrong about this?
No, you're not wrong. I mean, they're cheap. No, they have notoriously been cheap. And so I think that's really where they kind of sit. It's just an inexpensive, cheap, filling way to, you know, get a little something in your tummy. And honestly, they've just become so tied to ballpark and kind of sporting events to me in my mind that I don't know that I even consider them when I go out to eat, really.
Thoughts on this?
I think I want to push back against that a little bit. I mean, they are cheap, and I think that's a problem with consumer awareness and our perception of hot dogs and what they should be. I mean, I think there's a huge difference between like your $2 supermarket bag of Oscar Mayer weenies and then a Frank that's handmade from like a better cut of meat. So I like to jokingly talk about them as tube steaks because, you know, no one balks about paying five times as much for a porterhouse as they would a bottom round steak. But we seem to have an inability to have that same conception when it comes to hot dogs that are made from better quality meats with different fat composition and texture.
So you are, in fact, embracing the idea of the hot dog getting deserving more respect.
I think so. You know, I'm not going to, you know, denigrate the cheap hot dog, the ballpark dog. I think there's a lot of great pleasures there, but there's different grades. There's different types of hot dogs. So I think like when we hear a lot of people complain about, oh, I'm not paying $8 for a hot dog, there's a failure to recognize that there's a big difference between, there's a big spectrum of our tube steaks out there.
But I think the difference you're talking about is the difference between a hot dog and a sausage.
I think that's possible. There are a lot of great places in Kansas City that do, I think, high-quality hot dogs as well.
I agree.
Okay,
I agree.
Like, where would you, how would you make the distinction? I think we can all, as eaters, recognize the difference between a hot dog and a sausage, but what is the official difference?
Well, I mean, so a handmade sausage tends to be ground less fine. I mean, obviously, the texture between a hot dog and the texture between a sausage is pretty evident. A sausage tends to be a little bit of a looser grind. It's certainly usually in a natural casing of some kind. And thankfully, we have a lot of places here in Kansas City that hand make them. Hot dogs, too, we have some places that make them, but they are, it's ground finer and therefore can have fillers added. There's other things that are added to hot dog that aren't necessarily just meat. Mm-hmm. And it's ground really fine, so we don't really notice.
And I'm seeing a lot of beef hot dogs. It used to be would see a blend of chicken and pork, and, you know, typically it was less expensive. And I'm seeing more beef hot dogs.
I grew up on the kosher hot dog, which has always been beef for obvious reasons. But The kosher hot dog is also getting kind of it's getting mass appeal beyond the kosher crowd.
I would agree, definitely, because it is beef. And, of course, kosher, it's been very popular, but I think the public in general is starting to move more towards a beef Frank.
I think, like, Hebrew National was the big consumer brand that made all beef hot dogs super popular. And, you know, Costco has that, like, $1.50 hot dog that's kind of famous. And they you know, were famous for a long time because they used those Hebrew national dogs, and they've since switched to keep that $1.50 dog going to an in-house brand. But I'm told they're still filler and phosphate free.
We will get back to that, but I think this is a good time to kick off our actual recommendations here. On our search for the perfect hot dog for every listener out there, including the vegetarians, at 816-235-2888. Carlton, you are recommending a Wiener Kitchen dog, and I am wanting to start here because mostly I am just excited to know there's a place in town called Wiener Kitchen.
Yes. And there's also a Wiener Wagon.
Yes.
As well. On wheels. Wiener Kitchen on wheels, Wiener Wagon. I love the chili cheese dog. And, you know, chili cheese dogs have been around for a long time. This one's different because it's Wagyu beef, chorizo, black bean chili. So it's got a little heat to it, cheese, diced onions, and hot sauce. So it's a little spicier version of a classic chili cheese dog.
And Jenny, you also have a recommendation at Wiener Kitchen.
I do. Wiener Kitchen's kind of one of my favorite places if I'm going to really treat myself to a nice gourmet dog. They also make their own sausages and hot dogs in-house. I like the one that is their kind of classic breakfast hot dog, and it's basically their bacon dog, and it's made with, obviously, kind of pork belly that they grind to make it. But it's got, you know, cream gravy and sausage. You can get it with an egg, and it's served in a nice soft bun. It really is the quintessential kind of breakfast dog, so...
Carlton, I want to stick with the hilariously named hot dog shops for just a moment. What about Up Dog?
Up Dog is an independent, and the story I heard is it comes from the phrase "What up, dog?"
And not yoga.
I don't think so. No. I don't
to go from yoga to hot dogs like that, somewhere.
I'm sorry, that was my assumption.
That was your assumption. That's where you went with it.
Up dog equals yoga. Go on.
Oh my goodness.
But it's a kind of a retro step back in time for mica tabletops and chrome around the seats and around the tables. And they have a great selection of just hot dogs. And that's it. Hot dogs and different sausages. And they have a classic hot dog. They have very regional hot dogs like, you know, Chicago and that sort of thing. And I just think it's kind of a nice place if you're a real hot dog fan.
So where is this again, location-wise?
It's in Independence off the square.
So back to Costco. All three of you have recommended the hot dogs at Costco. Liz, I'm going to let you explain the Costco hot dog phenomenon because you kind of have already started us off. So just pick up where you left off. They had the Hebrew Nationals. They've
switched.
Right,
yeah. So they switched, I think it was back in 2009, to an in-house dog. I think it's still pretty good. It's still all beef. It's this enormous quarter-pound hot dog that costs less than something that you'd grab off, like, the Quick Trip roller. And look, should we trust it? Probably not. Is it a sign that our
food... Wait, why not?
Well, I think the perma-cheap hot dog, which I think they've announced is actually, they lose a little bit of money on that hot dog. It's primarily to get people in the door. Yeah. But I think it's also kind of a sign that we've got this food system that's pretty unsustainable, mm-hmm. that's, you know, sacrificing worker wages and safety to cater to this consumer mindset that thinks we got to have a cheap hot dog. But, you know, there's no ethical consumption under capitalism, so we may as well just enjoy a dirt cheap hot dog at a plastic picnic table next to the
and
tire
And it comes
center.
With a soft drink.
Yeah.
We should mention for that
a 20
price.
A 20-ounce soda with a free refill. It's a heck of a deal.
Beat that, Quick Trip Roller Grill.
And, I mean, to be fair, like, the need for inexpensive food is also profound for a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely. There's people that can't pay $9 for a hot dog, and they can get a pretty good one at Costco.
So what any other thoughts about the Costco hot dog that all three of you are recommending?
You know, it's a good choice for, you know, if you're shopping and you're done. And so, you know, you've got the kids. It's just an inexpensive, you know, choice to have. When they did make some changes with the hot dogs, I was like, why is all this hubbub about the change and everything? And someone said, you know, I have a friend who eats there probably 3 times a week, and that's his lunch. So it's very affordable for people on a budget.
Well, and the hot dog still remains the number one best-selling concession stand Costco item on the menu, whether that's for price or whether it's for taste. And, you know, we haven't even really talked about what it tastes like. It's a darn good dog. I mean,
yes,
it is.
Talk to me about what this tastes like.
It's a very flavorful dog. They have a slightly hot mess of a condiment bar that you can kind of dress your own dog if you can tiptoe through that. You know, ketchup, mustard, I think there's some onions, relish,
yes,
that kind of stuff. But, you know, for that price, obviously, it is a tasty dog. It is a big dog, meaning long in size, not necessarily fat in circumference, and it comes with a drink. So it's a heck of a deal.
And you don't have to be a Costco member to go to the snack bar.
You don't.
And I always wondered that, so that's good to know. I did not know that.
Another thing that you are all three recommending, a bizarre amount of consensus today, I need to add, is Krockstrom. And not just that, but you're all recommending that we order the same thing, the Copenhagen Street Dog. Jenny, tell me about this dog.
Yes. Well, I mean, this is kind of the hot dog that Katie made famous at Parlor when she opened up Fieldhouse. So this was kind of what her little place in Parlor when she was there for a hot minute. This was the hot dog that kind of made her famous. And it started out as a bar snack. And I think she has it now on her lunch menu as a lunch item. But this is basically, again, this is another long hot dog. It literally flops outside the bun. It is a pickled pulse. So it is pickled. It has definitely a pickled flavor to it, which is absolutely delicious. But in addition to that, it's got this remoulade to kind of Danish sauce. It's almost like a kind of a mayo that she puts on there. It's got a little cucumber, a little onion. There's some crispy fried onions on it. It's in this lovely soft bun, and it's delicious. I mean, there's just nothing about it that isn't tasty and craveable. And she does a couple other things. I think she still does her currywurst. I think that's still on the menu as well, which is also another delicious choice. But yeah, I mean, it's delicious. Who can argue with a pickled pulse?
And she pickles it herself. So Katie McLean, the chef owner of Krockstrom, she makes her own brine of garlic and vinegar for the hot dog. And it just turns out great. And that curry remoulade and all of the fried onions. I mean, we all know the best part of the green bean casserole is the fried onions.
That's right.
And this dog is loaded with them.
Nice texture point.
Carlton, further thoughts?
One thing I will say is, and if you've noticed a trend, I personally like a hot dog or sausage that is bigger than the bun. I think that's an important point we need to discuss.
Okay, let's talk about this.
I do not like a hot dog or sausage where I put it in the bun and the bun is overwhelming it. It's got to be big. It's got to be long. It's just one of those things for
Carlton,
me.
We have bigger issues than that. And that is the number of hot dogs and the number of buns do not equal.
That's an important thing as well.
We have bigger fish to fry. When you go to the store and you buy a package of hot dogs and a package of buns.
True.
Yes.
There's not enough. They don't match.
Yes.
The bun makers and the hot dog makers really need to start together. Talking to each other.
Oh, this is just a ploy call. From Big Bun.
That's right. Big Bun. That's right.
I feel like our divided society is affecting us in ways we haven't even considered. We all need to talk to each other more.
We do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, anyway.
You were saying.
Okay. So where does Krockstrom... You're saying that you like their size of hot dog to size of bun ratio.
Yes, there's a good ratio.
Isn't it like 9 inches? Like, it's huge. This dog is huge.
Liz, you have a Reuben-style veggie dog on your list, and this is just breaking all kinds of rules, and I love it.
Yeah, well, I think this was on Jenny's list, too, because the Brick does this Reuben dog, and they do a meat version, too. Is it all beef?
Yeah.
Okay, an all beef version.
Yeah.
But they also have a really good veggie dog there, and if you ask them, they'll do the veggie dog Reuben style, which I think is the superior way to order the veggie dog at the Brick.
Why?
Well, just when it's covered with the cheese and the sauerkraut, I think it really accentuates all of the, I think, what you like in a veggie dog. You're not necessarily trying to ape the flavors of meat. You're getting different flavors and a little more complex profile there. And I think the sauerkraut really offsets it and contributes to it nicely.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There's that pickly thing again that we like on our dogs. A lot of people like relish. Some people like sauerkraut. There's that kind of sourness that is just lovely. And
it's also good to have something crunchy.
Well, it's...
Yeah, nice texture differential.
Probiotics. I mean, we could just go on and on and on. No, I love sauerkraut. I stand sauerkraut for sure on hot dogs. I think it's delicious.
So we also have some dogs being recommended at Grenauer. And who was it who recommended Grenauer? Carlton? I think all of you have recommended Grenauer. Carlton,
I think so.
Start us off.
So I like Grünauer, and I'm one of those people, sometimes there are certain places I go and I usually order the same thing because it works. And usually when I'm at Grünauer, I order the two sausage duo, where you get to choose which sausages you want, and you also get sauerkraut. I usually choose the currywurst and the pork with cheddar.
Oh, yes. Okay. Talk to me about the pork with cheddar. All three of you have recommended the currywurst, but Carlton, you are the only pork with cheddar recommender in this bunch.
Well, first there's the pork.
And then there's the cheddar.
And then there's the cheddar. Those are two important food factors that you have to have in life. It's like bacon.
So when you cut it open, you can see little flecks of cheese kind of in there. Yes. Okay. All right.
And Liz, the currywurst?
Yeah, so I like a couple things at Grünauer, and the currywurst is one of them, which I think, Jenny, you had on your list as well, which is super flavorful.
Yeah.
But I also wanted to kind of briefly get your listeners' hopes up and then break their hearts, because a couple weeks ago I had the chef's worst of the day there, which was essentially a Viennese chili cheese dog. It was covered in chili and snowed in mozzarella on this poppy seed bun. It was delicious, and it was the worst of the day. So I don't know if they'll bring it back.
The worst with
the love the worst of the day.
It was the best worst
the
of
best
the day.
The best worst of the day. Yes.
So I'm hoping that they bring it back and make it a permanent menu item. It was
just
really
a
good
T-shirt with that on it. The best worst of the day.
Yes.
Yep.
The currywurst?
The currywurst is good. And the one thing I'll say about Grünauer is that, you know, this is a plate with just sausage cut up on it and the sauce on it. I mean, this is not like a side and a this and a that. This is presented very simply and plain. If you're with friends, order one of each of the dogs. They just have them all kind of cut up on a plate and everybody can just help themselves and have a beer or a glass of wine. It's, you know, easy food to share. This is not necessarily like in a bun or something else. It's literally just kind of on the plate for you. So
it's like a German charcuterie board.
There you go. That's exactly right.
And Jenny, you're telling us also about Leeway Franks and Butcher Shop in Lawrence. We've spoken with the owner of that shop before. He's got a super interesting story of his own. But when you're talking about like the hot dog that is doing the quality meats and things like that, this place, that's their whole idea.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So they have recently, they've always had their little concession stand called Leeway Franks in Lawrence, and now they have a butcher shop that goes along with it, which I think is one or two doors down from the concession stand, excuse me. And, you know, I love his story, and this is one of those things where you eat the hot dogs where they make the hot dogs, and they have good quality meat, kind of back to the beginning of our conversation on this, and Leeway Franks is one of them. This is the place where I get the chili dog. Like, this is where I have kind of my chili dog moment, and it's a beef frankfurter that they make in-house. He puts Texas red chili on it. And Texas red chili is not just ground beef. It usually has like little chunks of what I'll call it stew meat or just regular kind of chuck beef in there. So it's thicker and a little chunkier. Yellow mustard, diced onions. It's on a poppy seed bun. And it comes with either tots or french fries. So let's see, $10. That's a pretty good deal. Yeah, I love Leeway Franks.
And that is in Lawrence. Well, we are going to keep talking hot dogs after the break. We'll also get Jenny's review of the famous chicken sandwich at Popeyes that everyone is talking about. If you've missed that whole hubbub, she's going to get you caught up. But keep calling 816-235-2888 with your recommendations for the best hot dogs in town. Seriously, we want you to tell us where you get a hot dog. 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman. We're back. I'm Gina Kaufman, and we're talking hot dogs and sausages and such with the food critics Jenny Vergara, Carlton Logan, and Liz Cook. Hi again, everyone.
Howdy. Hello.
This is the time to call 816-235-2888 if you would like to ensure that your favorite hot dog is included on our official list of the best hot dogs in Kansas City at kcur.org. 816-235-2888. Before we resume our in-depth hot dog discussion, I do want to take a moment to say Popeye's spicy chicken sandwich.
And what about it?
Yeah, Jenny. Okay, Jenny, I know that you tried it.
I did.
You took a picture, and that means it's true.
It happened on the internet, so it must be true. Okay, so I have to just out Carlton, too, because he wrote a big stand on Facebook about the fact that he has broken up with Popeyes and will not be trying the spicy chicken sandwich.
Okay, we'll discuss all of this. Yes. Okay. Jenny, first of all, the backstory on this chicken sandwich phenomenon.
So the backstory actually came out of, I think it was the New York Times did a piece on this, and this was basically a restaurant in California that had a chicken and waffle on their menu, and the owner was going across the street to Popeyes to buy fried chicken, bringing it back and putting it on the waffle and serving it to people without Popeyes' permission. Of course, this was all on the DL. And somebody kind of outed her and wrote a big article about that she was doing this. So Popeyes, they called it Popeyegate, hashtag Popeyegate. So basically, Popeyes was like, there's a huge social media moment that we have to capture with this. And so they basically partnered with her for the launch of the spicy chicken sandwich. Now, this chicken sandwich comes both plain, like regular, and spicy. So you can get it either way. And they only offered it at her restaurant for, I think, a period of 2 weeks. So they basically launched a national sandwich in this one little restaurant because this girl was basically buying their fried chicken and putting it on her chicken and waffle dish. And there was literally posters in the window at Popeyes. If you want to try a new chicken sandwich, you're either going to have to wait or go here. And they were literally sending people to her. So for weeks and weeks and weeks, she had this kind of going. And then they finally rolled it out, obviously, across the country. And when they did, that created this kind of fabulous, you know, backstory about how we got here. And, you know, spicy fried chicken has been a thing now for probably close to 4 or 5 years. I mean, it's been on the cover of every food magazine. We're still talking about fried chicken sandwiches. Obviously, they're delicious. But spicy fried chicken is a thing. And it continues to be a thing. And so this is why. And it's, there was also a lovely video that was on Twitter of some guy, who, you know, people crying having this sandwich. Like, everybody was having this moment with this sandwich.
So is it good?
It is good. I woke up yesterday and my brother from Dallas, Texas had texted me. He goes, I know this probably isn't your pay grade, but I had the best spicy chicken sandwich at Popeyes. And I go, gosh darn it. I mean, if my brother, who's not even in food, texts me about this sandwich. So yesterday was the day. I had to go to two different Popeyes to get it. The one on Troost was sold out. And literally people coming out telling people in the drive-thru line, don't go, they're out. But the one on Prospect had it. I waited a good 40 minutes for it, but it really was delicious. I mean, in terms of just, you know, a typical fast food fried chicken sandwich. It was above average. And it's thickly breaded. It's very crunchy. It's the breading itself is really spicy. I mean, it has spice in it, like make your nose run spice. And then there's just a touch of spicy mayo, a couple pickles. And the bun itself, I think, is really what's making, kind of putting this sandwich over the top. It's a little sweet, a little buttery, really good.
Okay. A pretty rave review. Carlton, I don't want to dwell on this, mm-hmm. but if you have something to say about Popeyes, I want to invite you to say it.
Well, I posted just recently, within the past 24 hours, I broke up with Popeyes.
Why?
Things haven't been the same. The wings were getting smaller. Things were not well. And so I felt like they were trying to woo me back with this chicken sandwich. And I said, no, I've moved on. I'm at Mother Clucker's now.
Okay. Well, perhaps we will need to have a larger chicken sandwich discussion, but today's topic is hot dogs, so we're going to get back to that now with our caller, George, who is calling us from Kansas City, Missouri at 816-235-2888. George, welcome to the show.
Good morning.
Tell us about your hot dog of choice.
Most people don't know it, but and it's not on the menu, but Jack Stack barbecue in the Freight House has hot dogs.
Tell us more.
They come out. I usually get them at the bar, and you get two of them, and they're quite large, actually.
And how do they?
It's a full meal.
How do they taste compared to other hot dogs?
They're very good. And you know, they're not on the menu. So you have to ask for them.
Do you think that's because maybe, like, I think some places keep hot dogs around in case kids want them. Do you think that could be it? The off-menu hot dog? I feel like there's got to be a story there, if not.
I'm not sure. I just, every now and then, rather than have, you know, the barbecue and all that, I just order a hot dog.
So how did you find out that they had the hot dog if it's not on the menu?
That's what I want to know.
Right?
Well, I saw served one day, so I asked, and Laura, the daytime bartender, knows all about it. So,
all right. So there's a hot dog for unknown reasons at Jack Stack, and George likes it, but Any other off-menu hot dogs anyone knows about?
Secret hot dogs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know about that. I think he saw a kid's plate going out and thought, that looks good. If he's there every day, he probably needs something other than barbecue every now and then. So
yeah, fair enough. Mm-hmm. Liz, I believe you have a hot dog that comes from a food truck, and that seems like a fitting combo, the food truck hot dog.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the picks on my list was the Detroit Coney Dog. So this is a roving banana yellow food truck that just looks so lovely against the city skyline there. And it serves an authentic Coney Dog, which you might assume that it's called a Coney Dog. It's from Coney Island, where the hot dogs originally came from. It's actually a Detroit, Michigan specialty. So don't ask me why they called it a Coney Dog. Mm-hmm. But it's an all-beef hot dog that they serve on top. They put a pretty soupy beanless chili. So this thing is a hot mess in the most delicious sense of the word. Like it's a fork hot dog kind of essentially. And then they top it with some mustard and onions, and that's all you need. They also sell very good chili cheese fries. And I would contend that there are a few things in life that cannot be fixed with chili cheese fries.
That sounds yummy.
We have talked indirectly about hot dog toppings already, just in speaking about the sauerkraut on the Reuben style, the chili dog, etc. But can we just step back from that for a moment to talk about what you guys like on a hot dog other than just the dog and the bun? Like if you're getting to like, if you've got the custom Carlton dog, the Liz dog, and the Jenny dog, what's on it?
Ketchup, mustard, diced onions, and that's probably it.
Pretty elemental for me. It's just the cheap neon yellow mustard and raw white onion.
Mm. Yeah, I'm a mustard girl, too. I'd probably put a little shredded cheddar cheese on mine. Mm-hmm. No onion, no pickle, just plain. Just so mustard and cheese.
What's interesting, Liz, about the Coney dog that you just described is that if it's overflowing with these toppings, I can appreciate the appeal of that. Personally, that's how I would like it. But then combine that with the food truck, and that's like, of all settings to have the toppings falling out of the hot dog when you're trying to eat standing up or something. That seems like the worst situation for that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they serve it in this little paper boat, so it's not like you're walking around just holding on to the raw bun that's overflowing with chili. But it is messy to eat. But that's, I think, there's some summer pleasures there. We're used to getting sticky with watermelon and all kinds of things. So there's something nice about that, too.
So what is the name of this food truck again, and where you find it, how you find it?
So it's the Detroit Coney Dog, and they don't have a lot of regular setup points, so you'll have to follow them on Facebook, and then they'll announce where they'll be. But I know this Saturday they're going to be at the World War One Museum on the Southeast Lawn, so you can look for them there.
Let's talk to Steve in Lawrence. Steve is calling us at 816-235-2888 to talk hot dogs and friends of hot dogs, such as sausages, veggie dogs, turkey dogs, and so forth. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I have two suggestions, actually. For meat in any kind of a tube form, you've got to go with Werner's in Mission.
Meat in any kind of a tube form. That's another way to say it.
They make it all. They make every kind. And if you like hot dogs, their knockwurst is amazing. And then the other suggestion is...
Wait, what's a knockwurst for the non-sausage experts?
It's basically a German hot dog. It's larger and everything's natural casing there, but it's a much firmer texture than a hot dog. And on Saturdays, they actually set up a grill outside and you can buy them fresh off the grill, and they're really, really good.
Do they still have the lines down the street on Saturdays too?
Sometimes, yes, and you better get there early because once they get out of them, you know, they have a limited number that they'll cook, and then that's it for the day.
Okay, and then, so did you say you have two recommendations?
I do, the chili dog at Rosedale Barbecue, because that's really good. They split the hot dog down the middle and lay it flat on a hoagie bun and then put the Rosedale chili on top of it, and it's not, no beans in the chili, but it's a really, really good chili dog.
Carlton just started taking notes.
Oh, yeah, you got to go, and everybody comes out of town, they always talk about the three big barbecues, and nobody really mentions Rosedale very often, but for everything, they're the best. But their chili dog's pretty amazing. If you're in the mood for a hot dog and not necessarily barbecue, then definitely Rosedale.
Okay, Steve, thank you so much. And Carlton, what caught your attention there?
Well, we just heard also Jack Stack and now Rosedale. So I find it interesting that most barbecue restaurants you go to usually have sausages that are grilled. And I find it interesting because I don't remember seeing hot dogs.
I have to tell you, the split dog cooked on the grill, that is the best. So I'm there for that, and I'm there for a spiral cut dog where all, like, you literally, when it plumps, you've got all those kind of crevices where your condiments kind of fall in there perfectly. So I love, I love a dog that's been treated a little bit before you throw it on the fire.
Hasselbacked.
Yes, thank you. Hasselbacked. That's great. That's great.
Jenny, you have recommended the stadium hot dog.
Yes.
And this seems like you've also stated, this is sort of in our culture, in American culture, baseball stadium and hot dog, on some level, they do go together.
Well, you know, I mean, how do you go to the ballpark when the connection between these two, this food item, and I would contend an ice cold beer, and the ballpark, like all three of these things, like, are just written somewhere in the zeitgeist of this is what you do at the ballpark. And, you know, I dare anyone to sit there and just go, oh, no, I'd rather have chocolate drizzled strawberries than a hot dog at the ballpark.
I mean, would say the frosty malt with the little wooden spoon is also intrinsically ballpark.
Yeah, I think everybody kind of has their thing, but it's just kind of part of it. Like, you haven't had a full ballpark experience until you've had a hot dog.
So how are the hot dogs at Kauffman Stadium?
They're good. You know, I tend to get, I think they call it the super dog, and it's just basically more of a foot long dog than kind of the regular, smaller, less expensive dogs. And this one's just a few bucks more, but basically it's enough for two people to split, which I usually end up typically doing when I go to the ballpark. And you dress it with what you want. And they do have some, you know, fairly decent, you can get sauerkraut on it. You've got some condiments to choose from, onion pickle. Mine has mustard, as I've already confessed. So that's usually what I get. And that and an ice cold beer or a nice Boulevard Fling, and I'm good.
So Werner's, or is it Werner's? I'm sorry, but I'm always not sure about that.
Well, they're a German place, so I think we can safely say Werner's, right?
I would agree.
So Liz, they are on your list, as well as our caller just mentioned them. What would you recommend getting if people are going to go shop for some sausages there?
So they have a lot of great options, a lot of creative brats and sausages, but the reason I go there is for the linguiça that they make. And linguiça is a spicy, smoke-cured Portuguese sausage. It's sort of similar to like a Spanish chorizo, if you had anything like that. But I think it's a little richer and a little more complex, a little bit less spicy, but it's still got a little bit of heat to it. So they're great on the grill, and they sell it in links, but my favorite way to prepare them is just by frying it in a cast iron pan, because it puts out this great, like, neon orange grease that you can then cook onions and potatoes and peppers in, and then, baby, you got a hash going.
That's right.
Yes.
And what about Broadway Butcher Shop? You're also recommending some shopping there.
Yeah, so Broadway Butcher Shop is kind of my go-to for the friendliest guys in town who will give you so much great advice about whatever you pick up to cook. And they have a lot of really creative brats and sausages there as well to throw on the grill. They've got a chicken and waffle breakfast sausage with just a soupçon of maple flavor that's really good. But my favorite for grilling is their brisket sausage link, which is pretty unique, and it's just kind of packed with meaty, earthy, almost mineral flavor. It's a really unique sausage, and I would highly recommend it.
Carlton Pretzel Boys.
Pretzel Boys. So Pretzel Boys started in St. Louis, and then Dan Wickuria, brought it here to KC. And mainly they do pretzels, but they also do pretzel dogs. So there's the pup, which is basically a Frank wrapped in pretzel, and they also do Italian sausage, brats, a hot Polish, and a chicken andouille. And the best thing is to use the Helga mustard there. It's sweet and hot.
Helga mustard.
Helga mustard.
It's locally
Helga
made, right?
Fine Foods.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it's the combination of the...
Now I'm taking notes.
It's the combination of that hot dog with the juice and the pretzel with the, you know, the saltiness, and then you got the sweet and hot mustard. It's like a combination from heaven.
So Boulevard Beer Hall also does a pretzel dog that's really good. And there's just, I mean, that combination, of course, how could that be bad? I mean, that is a delicious kind of, I don't know, it's like the crescent roll weenie kind of children's, we used to eat them as kids.
Yes.
It kind of reminds me of that. And so it's good. And it's fun to eat.
It's the adult version, let's say that.
There you go.
We have an inquiry, a hot dog inquiry from our listener, Bob in Leawood. Hi, Bob.
Hi. Say, I'm from Chicago. I've been here 9 years, but I cannot find a decent Chicago-style hot dog here. Actually, I'm going back to the area in a few weeks for a few days, so I'll definitely hit them up. But what I mean by that is, of course, a Vienna, all beef, preferably the larger size, sesame seed bun, onions, celery salt, sport peppers maybe, no ketchup, never, never, and regular cheap yellow mustard. That's what I like. Now, there was a food truck out here by Lowe's on State Line Road out here three, four years ago, and the guy hit perfect, but I've never seen him again. I don't know, maybe he got banned or something. But where do you have such a thing around here?
Okay. Anyone know the answer to Bob's question?
This man needs to go to Pizza Man.
Go on.
In Lenexa. Everything's Chicago. So they don't do deep dish Chicago style pizza, but they do the thin crust bar pizza that's kind of known in Chicago. And then they also do Chicago dog. They do a dipped beef. I mean, this guy, if he's missing Chicago, he would find great company in this place. And they do a really nice Chicago dog. So.
Anyone else have a recommendation, or are we just going to stick with that one?
There was a place that was open for a while, Chi-Town, and they closed. And they did. They were doing a deep dish and also doing the Chicago dog. He does have a cart and is also available for catering. So Chi-Town is an option.
Where do people find that cart?
Check Facebook.
Okay.
And I think he usually
posts. So Chi-Town, C-H-I, yes. I'm guessing, as
C-H-I-T-O-W-N. In Chicago. C-H-I-T-O-W-N.
All right. Jenny, you have got a couple of, like, Westport classic institutions on your list where they have dogs that you like. We're talking Twin City Tavern and Westport Flea Market.
Yeah, this is another one where, I mean, Westport Flea is really known for their hamburgers and cheeseburgers. They have been for years and years, but they also do a really good dog. And basically, it's a dog from Fritz. We haven't really talked about Fritz, but Fritz is another, you know, fantastic, obviously, butcher shop. They do a lot of smoking and smoked sausages. And I think they have a grill outside that they might serve and actually make sausages for people to have at lunch. So check out Fritz's. But this is a Fritz smoked dog, and you can get it with or without kraut. It's $7.50, or you can add chili con carne or shredded cheddar cheese, I think, for an additional price. But it's just a good little, you know, if you're not going to get a cheeseburger, a hot dog at Westport Flea is just kind of right up the alley. And then a little further down the street is the Twin City Tavern. And this place is just a lovely kind of neighborhood bar. It has a lot of regulars. And I mean, this is the, okay, so I'm going to go back. I'm about 8 years old now. They have a mini corn dog basket that's just like fried little mini corn dogs. And you can get it with, I think, tater tots or fries. And I'm telling you, like, it's just beautiful, fabulous finger food. And I love a good corn dog. So if I'm going to go there, that's usually what I'm going to have to snack on.
Let's talk to Diana. Diana's calling from north of the river. We've heard about Costco's hot dogs. And now Diana's going to talk to us about Lowe's.
Hi there. No, it's not Lowe's hot dogs.
Oh.
But lots of times when I go to Lowe's, there's a little hot dog stand set up outside. I guess you call it a cart or a wagon. And it's called JR's Hot Dogs. And it's this couple that has, I guess they go around to different places and get permission, and they set up their hot dog stand. I have no idea where their hot dogs come from. But I really like them. They're just good hot dogs and friendly people and everything. But as you've been saying the word dog over and over and over again, their business is called JR's Dogs, but 10% of their proceeds they give to a company that buys police vests or bulletproof vests for dogs. And I just think that's so wonderful. It's a good hot dog and a good cause, and so they're sometimes up around Lowe's, up in off of Berry Road. So that's my favorite place to get a dog for that reason.
All right. I feel like I have a lot of questions, but our time is short, and my questions are veering pretty far from the topic of good hot dogs in town. So we'll have to look into that some other time. But Ken is also on a hot dog search. We don't have much time, but quickly, Ken, what are you looking for?
Sure. I grew up in the Cincinnati area, so most of the hot dogs I've ever eaten were in a Coney Island or just plain Coney. They're a special kind of chili dog, mainly because of the Cincinnati-style chili, which I don't have time to describe. But it's got to be done a certain way. It's got to have a soft steam bun so you can squeeze the ends together to make a boat. You add a hot dog, mustard, the chili, optional onions, and then topped with a pile of finely shredded mild cheese. Unfortunately, I don't think there are any Cincinnati chili parlors in the KC area, so I have to make them for my friends with chili I order online.
Well, Ken, let's see if our critics know of any place that has the Cincinnati-style dog.
I think I saw it on the menu at Up Dog. They have a section of, like, the Coney, the New York, and I want to say I saw Cincinnati on that list.
You know, I knew before we had this conversation that people would have a lot of hot dogs that they were interested in and liked, but I just really didn't fully understand until now, and I want to thank you all for this. Jenny Vergara, Carlton Logan, thanks as always.
Thank you.
And Liz Cook, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You can get the official list of best hot dogs and fun in a bun foods, as Jenny has called them, in town at kcur.org. It'll be ready for you this weekend, and it'll include critics' choices and listener suggestions, comprehensive hot dog coverage, kcur.org. While you're there, get info on a big event in celebration of Labor Day that I will be hosting at the Record Bar next Thursday night, August 29th, storytelling with everyone from new mayor Quentin Lucas to the manager of Manny's on Southwest Boulevard, telling stories about work. Hope to see you there. This show is produced by Melody Rowell, Ann Kniggendorf, and Aviva Okeson Haberman. Sylvia Maria Gross is our senior producer. Our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. I'm Gina Kaufman.